Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Joshua Koh has a passion to see his generation grow in a deeper relationship with God. This generation. His desire is that each student would know their identity in Christ, stand up on what they believe, and make a difference. Yeah, to make a difference for God. And today, Joshua's going to make a difference for the Lord by sharing his story and what God has done in his life. Part of the marvel of it all is that the same Christ who has touched his heart and his life has a heart for you, dear friend, and reaches out to you to touch your heart and your life. So much so that we're here to remind you that God loves you so much that he died on the cross. Christ died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, you know, hey, look, we're here talking about a living relationship with Almighty God. The living Christ who has made a difference in Josh's life can make a difference in your life too. Would you open your heart to Jesus Christ? Would you turn to him? Joshua Koh serves as the youth pastor at First Assembly of God. Missions has made a great impact on his life. He desires to see students committing to take the gospel to all the nations. He enjoys surfing, hiking, experiencing new cultures. He graduated from Southwestern Assembly of God University in Texas with his bachelor's degree in pastoral ministries and a minor in business. Pastor Joshua, welcome to our show.
Hey, Danny, how you doing? It's great to be here.
Very well, very well. And we're grateful to have you with us today. Where did you grow up, Josh?
I grew up here in the island of Oahu, born and raised in right here in Aiea, and just love it. Love living here. Love life here. And yep, I just grew up here.
What's one of your favorite memories of growing up in Hawaii, or more specifically in Aiea?
Well, growing up here in Hawaii is just really beautiful. I think just living here. Of course, my family is Christian, so I was very involved with church, had a great community of friends, and always surfing, hiking, the outdoors. That's something I love about here, always kind of putting myself into some sort of trouble, but it's always a delight just to live in Hawaii and to call this my home and to share the aloha wherever I go, whether it's in the mainland or around the world.
You and I have a kindred spirit. If you love hiking, then you know you're with me. To this day,
Josh, be careful. Hike carefully, honey.
Yes,
thank you.
I understand.
Don't take your girlfriend.
Don't scale cliffs. Right.
Oh man. Right. Oh shoot. But I think it's too late for that.
But when you think about hiking, what is it that you love about it?
You know, honestly, what I really love about hiking is just kind of just the thrill of getting somewhere and seeing something I've never seen before. Mm. Seeing a view I've never seen, looking at something from a different perspective. And I really think that, I mean, as far as, you know, whether it's from the ocean, surfing, or hiking, always feel like I'm on a journey to see something new. And I really like hiking. I like doing new hikes, finding secret spots, kind of those secret beauty, mm-hmm. beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I really like to go hiking. And it's not just here in Hawaii, but wherever I can go to see something new, have some sort of new perspective. And
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the question. It's the mountain and the ocean question.
Okay.
If you had a choice, because you said you love surfing and you love hiking, so if you had a choice, but you could only choose one, which would you choose?
That's a very tough question. How many people have you asked this question? I think I would choose, wow, this is hard.
Mountain man or water man?
Okay, I gotta choose the water. Oh. I do have to choose the water. I really love the water.
Oh, he decided. He made a choice.
I do like hiking, but, you know, I live on an island, and so the water has played a big part in my life.
And mind you, it certainly doesn't diminish, you know, your ability to appreciate. And I just love it because I've been asked that. I'm a mountain guy. You know, I could hang in the mountains, and it's just, I guess, the way God makes us to be.
Yeah.
I struggle in the water. One of my friends had to pull me in once. I had to hold on to his leash, and he paddled me in. Anyway, who influenced you most in your growing up years, Josh?
You know, I'd have to say that the one person who really influenced me the most, there are two people, but they're my parents. So, of course, my father, he influenced me in a very... very impactful way. The way he fathered me, the way that he raised our family, the way he lives his life, I've learned to watch him and to kind of learn from him. Mm. I understand that my situation isn't always, it's very rare to have a godly man in the home. And I also understand that while there is a lot of brokenness in the world, that I was blessed to have a father who really loves me and loves his children, his wife, and loves the Lord first of all and keeps him as number one. So I would say that my father, he really has influenced my life in a very impactful way to everything that who I am today.
You know, as we grow older in our years, we remember certain things that our parents or significant people in our lives have said. It's like a... You know, they might not even be there, but we know what they would say in a particular situation, right, mm-hmm. Susanna? I mean,
yes, exactly.
So what are some phrases or some certain things that your dad would say that you always remember? You'll take it with you throughout your life.
Oh, man. Okay. There's a lot of things that I can recall right now. First of all, with grades, you better buckle down, boy. My dad was very... You know, of course, my mom, she's helping me through my education. And then whenever I get, like, something, like, maybe my grades or my report card or something, I get, like, C or something. Like, oh, Asian parents, yeah. So,
which means you got an A-. If it was an Asian, the Asian C is an A-.
Oh, I tell you what, struggle is real. But that's what it was always hoping that I would buckle down. Because I was always the type that was running around, kind of like, getting distracted, you know, super energetic and hyperactive and had a hard time focusing in doing my homework. So that's number one. The second thing that I would probably say that I remember is from childhood, it says, I would always say I can't do something. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, I mean, it's just like I can really remember or see myself. I was trying to grab something from on top of the shelf and I said, Dad, can you grab it for me? He's like, no, you can do it yourself. He's like, no, I can't. And he said, never say you can't. You can, and you can do it, and you can do it well. And I just remember that moment. And the last thing that I really, like, you know, picked up from him or can remember is I am a talkative person, even from childhood. And so I used to just blurt out whatever came to my mind. And like, you know, it would get me in a lot of trouble. And so my dad, he would say, son, speak from your think before you speak and speak from your heart. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of those things that was constantly as a reminder for me, because I still, even as an adult, you know, getting myself into trouble. And I always can remember him saying, look, son, speak from your, think before you speak, but speak from your heart. And that's been a very valuable, lesson for me is I've been gifted to be able to talk, and I really have no reserve. But I know that the greatest influence is when I can control my tongue and speak from my heart. So those are kind of some things.
Sounds like a father of real wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he also gave me some good lickings too. So, I mean, he's a good, that was like, oh no. But yeah, those are some things that he really taught me.
Sounds mm-hmm. like a father that loved him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he's even getting lickings.
Oh yeah. It's kind of like, I have one older sister and one younger brother. And so we would get like these corporate punishments for doing so all together. Line up, okay. And then he would always explain, like, you know what you did wrong? And then I'd be like, no. It's like, well, he explains, like, this hurts me more than it hurts you type of thing. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Not. Okay. But after a while, I realized he does. He really
when
does
you have
me.
Children, you're going to find he was absolutely right.
I'm
it
pretty
did
sure.
hurt him more.
I'm pretty sure. But my bottom was hurting a lot.
When we come back, Josh, I want you to share with us how you became a Christian. You grew up in a Christian home. Your father is one of the leading pastors. I have great, great respect for your father, Pastor Clayton Cole, First Assembly of God. I've admired him for years. It's a privilege to know him and to see how God has used him in Hawaii and also throughout the world, the powerful anointing of God on he and your mom has been an incredible blessing, not only in the state of Hawaii, but literally around the world.
Yeah.
Literally around the world.
Yeah.
But how did Joshua Cole, son of Pastor Layton Cole, Sister Sharon Cole, become a believer in Jesus Christ? I want to hear, we want to hear,
yes,
your journey. What did Jesus do in your life? How did the Spirit of God move and then even call you to the work that you're doing today?
Yes.
Joshua Cole will share when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
You're listening listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
They hear it from time to time. You got to hear about model fathers, model mothers. You know, so often we hear of, you know, people that make wrong decisions and have drastically regretful decisions that are made, and how lives are broken as a result of that. But you know, there are times when we do need to be reminded that when we have the influence of someone who is a stalwart in very many ways, that it is a blessing, but that it also comes with a responsibility. To whom much is given, Jesus said, to him much is required. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, and our guest today, Pastor Joshua Koh. He's the youth pastor at First Assembly of God at Red Hill here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and he's also the chaplain of Christian Academy, a very dear and dynamic school that I personally have fond feelings and memories for. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Maybe you're tuning in right now. You got the maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get the whole thing for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Josh, how did you become a Christian?
Well, I would say that, of course, I was almost like born into faith. Well, people wouldn't say that. Of course, my parents were in ministry. And so I was raised in church. And of course, every week, you know, it almost seemed like I was at the church every single day. Because I also went to Christian Academy.
So you pretty much lived there.
Yeah. It was my first home. It was my first home. And then I went home, you know, to maybe sleep or something and go back to church. So I really was born and raised in the church. And, you know, for me, like, of course, at a young age, I accepted Jesus in my heart from kids' church. And I remember the children's pastor giving an invitation. And of course, me being young, I want to have Jesus in my heart and I don't want to go to hell. So I accepted Jesus in my heart, thinking that's my way to meet him after I die. But of course, as a young person grows up, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you got the peer pressure and all that type of things. And I really started to, as I looked at my friends, I really started to hate being a pastor's kid because of course, like you said, the ministry title came with, you know, the responsibilities and maybe the expectations that other people had on me. And I really,
as a pastor's
mm-hmm. kid, of me being better than everyone else, or me being not exactly like holier than that. So for me, I started to resent like being a pastor's kid. I started to resent going to church. And I remember like going to my parents, like, why do you have to be a pastor? Why do I have to live this life? And I started to resent it. And it was for a while, like, you know, I just really didn't like it. But I remember in ninth grade, you know, going to a church camp. It was our encounter. And basically what the encounter is we go off for a weekend. It was a youth encounter. So all my friends, we all went off to a really quiet place in a retreat. It was Camp Timberline. And there, for the first time, it felt like I was away from my parents. And when the message came and I started to open my heart, and again, I started to realize that this is my faith. Mm-hmm. And I started to embrace my faith. I realized faith is not about, you know, just living your parents' faith or what they believe, but it has to become a very personal. And at that moment, it became personal. Maybe I was at the point really dissatisfied with the way things were, and I wasn't really happy. And for me, I really wanted to have a real relationship with God. And so I remember accepting Jesus again, you know, rededicating my heart. And not only that, but eagerly trying to live it out, trying to have this relationship with God, trying to read my Bible, trying to pray. And even though it's been so well modeled, you know, all around me, I still needed to have a personal encounter with God. And I felt that weekend that I had that personal encounter. And, you know, from there, you know, I just continued. Now, for some reason, I mean, for even after accepting Christ, it didn't mean I was perfect. I was still, you know, the pressures and my friends and all that kind of stuff. But I always felt like my parents would always tell me, you have a call of God in your life. I was like, okay, that's enough. Like, you know, enough with the call of God on my life. You know, there's a call of God in your life. Or there's God has plans and purposes. Okay. Can I go to the movies? Or can I go chill my friends and stuff like that? But I started to really, that started to really sink in. And what was a self-centered faith started to change when I actually went on a missions trip. And that was my junior year in high school. And it was just a life-changing moment for me.
Where did you go? What happened?
I went to, so we had Ed Silvoso from Transformation Alliance, and he came down to our church and he shared. And basically it was just like, it was like the last deadline, like no one else. And I had to raise $3,000, but he said, you should go. I'm like, it's too late. Like, there's no way I can get it. You should go. I really believe God has something for you there. And my parents, you know, I asked my parents and we raised that money and 3,000, 1 month, $3,000 came in. And I got to go on that trip. And for me, that was my first mission trip outside of the church, outside of my parents being there. I was with complete strangers, but with, you know, another church, MGMC. And I went there and God just wrecked my heart. I remember one of the evenings we went as young people. There's a nightlife in Argentina. And we went there and we decided, hey, let's go play soccer at 12 o'clock at night in the plaza area where the obelisk is in Buenos Aires. Mm. And so I was like, oh, great idea. I mean, it's 12 o'clock, you know, light nightlife. We go get some jerseys and play some soccer. Not such a good idea. but we were enthusiastic. We went and grabbed some McDonald's and we went to the plaza and we had our soccer ball and our jerseys. And all of a sudden, like, these street kids started coming out and started speaking to us in Spanish. Now, I don't speak any Spanish, but, you know, they looked like they were harmless. And so we started playing. And all of a sudden, like, 5 kids turned to 10, 10 turned 15, 15, 20. And all of a sudden, we're surrounded by, like, 30 street kids. And I was like, I was realizing, wow, this is a lot of kids. But what happened was they started trying to steal my stuff. They started reaching into my pockets. And I was like, I realized he grabbed our McDonald's. They stole our, took our soccer ball away. I was like, we're getting mugged by a bunch of 10-year-olds. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I started, and then, you know, there, we had some people, thank God we had some people who spoke Spanish and just kind of shooed them off. And it was kind of really traumatic for me. And I went to my room that evening and just kind of traumatized, you know, as a 16-year-old. I was like, God, like, I came here to do something good and people are doing bad things, you know. The question for me was, how do you love those who try to manipulate you? How do you love those? And he, it's such a clear word for me. He said, you can't. And I was really, like, puzzled by the answer. What do you mean you can't? He's like, you can't in your love. You need to allow me to break your heart and I'll pour in my love. My love doesn't run out for people and let it overflow in you. And I just remember the next day, speaking to a pastor there. He was from South Africa, Pastor Pete. And I said, I told him what happened. I was like, Pastor Pete, like, God says that he needs to give me his love. And so he's like, well, let's pray for it. And right there in the Hotel Republica with the cold marble floor, he prayed for me just a simple prayer saying, God, show him your love. And right there and then just God just poured. It seemed like it was coming from the ceiling of the hotel, just poured out. And I just started to weep and cry. And all of a sudden, my friends from all around the world, they started to pray for me. And then the Holy Spirit just took over. And it was literally like the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way. And after I was on the floor weeping, I started to pray for my friends. And they started to fall in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, that hotel lobby turned into a sanctuary. And people were praying for each other. People were speaking in tongues, and it was powerful. And then at the end of that whole thing. This Australian guy who missed his flight came in and saw this. This is all in a hotel, in the lobby, and people are walking in. I can remember looking at the sliding door open and close as people walk in and witness something that they've never seen before. And I remember the Australian walked in. He's like, "Hey, mate, what's going on here?" And he's like, "I just said, dude, it's like the power of God." And so I just prayed for him. He's like, "What was that?" So I felt a warmth in my heart. It's like, "That's God." And then he said, "Hey, you want to receive Christ into your heart?" And there he accepted Christ in his heart right there. And for me, that was a life-changing experience for me. I just was so moved as a high schooler just to reach, to have the love of God and to share it with others. And for me, that took it from religion to a relationship. And it became not just my parents' faith, this became the calling that launched me into really what I'm doing today.
Missions, was that the genesis of your passion for missions?
I have to say it was. It really was. To get me out of my context, to get me out of my inward-looking lifestyle, and to start to look outward, that was the genesis of the passion that stirred in me. And I think that I just don't think it could have happened any other way for me.
To get me out of my inward-looking lifestyle. That's what Joshua Cole says. Get me out of my inward-looking lifestyle. Danny, what does it take to get you out of your inward-looking lifestyle? Suzanne, what does it take to get you out of your inward-looking lifestyle? Dear friend, as you listen to Joshua today, what does it take to get you out of your inward-looking lifestyle? What does it take? What does it take? What does God have to do? What kind of opportunity? Is there an opportunity that's before you now that you've been turning from? Do you know that it may be the opportunity that would literally change either the course of your life or the trajectory of your life? And God revealing himself in a unique way? There'll be more from Joshua Cole. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So he talks about missions as being something very close to his heart, something that motivates him, something that is he's very passionate about. It's changed his life. I'm talking about Joshua Cole. Pastor Joshua is the youth pastor at First Assembly of God, Red Hill, here in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's also the chaplain of a Christian Academy. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. And my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, is with us today as well. He's also part of the Explicit Movement. And you can find out more about that at explicitmovement.org.
You know, Josh, one of the things I love that you're sharing, unbeknownst to you, I think, to our listeners, is that love is literally a gift from God. So you were gifted in Argentina with that gift that was absolutely life-changing for you. And our listeners, the love you have in your heart is the love of Christ, and it's a love that needs to be shared. But I'd like to hear a little bit more about that mission trip in Argentina. I have a feeling there's a little more to share.
Yeah, I mean, during our time there, we actually got a chance to visit a prison. Now, this was in Adrague. It's called Oldest Prison. And in this prison, you know, they hold some of the, it's like a maximum security prison where they hold those who have, you know, committed crimes like murder and things like that. And so we went there, but it was unbelievable. When we got there, instead of a prison, we found a sanctuary. The men were worshiping God. And we got there, I thought we were going there to minister to them, which we did. But looking at just these men who have committed some crimes and things and done things regrettably in their past. I remember one guy, he was a murderer, and he shared with us that he had committed all these crimes, but Jesus forgave him of his sins. And I remember just visiting with them, and they actually were praying for us before we even came. And mm-hmm. I was just seeing, for me, that just showed like how God's love has no limits, and how like, you know, no matter what we've done in our past, like God is willing to forgive us. And yes. Even though we might not be able to forgive ourselves, at times his love overwhelms that. And so like I remember that experience of going to the prison and being able to pray with these men restored to faith, restored to life. And even though they're locked up for life, they were actually free inside.
Yes.
And so I was really blessed to have that experience mm-hmm. and just experience the love of God in that aspect.
What other nations have you gone to serve in missions?
Oh, for me, after high school, I went to Argentina in high school, Philippines, China, Bangladesh. I've been to Mexico, Canada, Malaysia. That's where my mom's from, but I was able to do some missions there. Also went to Singapore, East Timor, And this coming year, I'll be going to Nepal.
Your passport is full of stamps.
Yeah.
tell with us. A little cross underneath each stamp.
Yeah, a little cross. The Philippines, a year after high school, or a year, yeah, a year.
Just after.
Just after. Yeah. So you were there for a year after high school. Why did you go there, and what was it like?
Our church has a missions program, and it's called the Gideonite Training. And basically what it is, it's you take six lay people, and we believe in empowering the church, so it's not for elite people. We believe that the local church should provide an opportunity for those who feel the call of God to serve in missions, have a missional experience, and we actually church plant. So I signed up. I knew that after high school, God asked me and a friend that I graduated with to commit our first year of college to doing a missions trip or to join a Gideonite team. So I joined a team of six strangers from our church. They became my family. And we went out there to fly. We flew all the way to Bohol, Philippines, in the Visayan Islands. And man, it was just, I just remember flying over and just over the island and landing. And we not even knowing the language at the time.
And you're going to be there for a year.
We're going to be there for a year. The commitment is a year. And you pay a small fee, but basically you're committing to serve there in a country, where whether it's the Philippines or somewhere else, for a year long. And that's the term. And so I did that, and it was incredible. We went there. We didn't know the language, but God provided someone. We were actually lost. And we're walking around in the village, and we were trying to learn Tagalog, but they spoke a different dialect. They speak Visayan. And walking around all defeated, we can't speak to them. And this young student, a college student, looks at us, and she's walking by. She's like, "Do you guys need help? You speak English." So right there, she began to teach us the dialect. Mm. She began to write us notes and phrases. So that helped us into starting the church and discipling. And now the church is self-sustaining after all these years.
Oh,
and it's thriving right now in the Philippines.
What lessons did God teach you in that process?
Oh, man. Submission. I think that's the biggest thing, is to submit to leadership. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not the way, certainly, that I would probably do things, that to keep the unity is the most important thing. Methods. Everyone has methods. But sometimes we have to lay down our rights. And so I learned, what did you learn? Like, I learned to submit. I learned to lay down my rights so that we can accomplish something greater. And working with a team and living with a team and living with people who have the same vision and purpose, it's not always easy to live with people. But learning to grow as a family and to minister together, I also learned that, people are hungry for the gospel. Mm. And that's what I learned, during that time.
What kind of hunger? Describe the hunger.
How I could describe it is probably give you a picture, or just what I saw is, children coming to the church, bringing their friends, and they were just, besides the fact that we were doing children's ministry, they're just coming, and they may come for the snacks, but we would teach them the word, and we would share with them. And I'll tell you what, the hunger is not so much just one time thing. When they start coming back for more, and they start and they stay in the church, and it has no longer become let's see the Americans, but it has become, this is my faith, this is my church, and this is my country. That's when I saw a hunger that the church didn't fail or fall apart when we left.
Josh, may I ask, had these people come from a Catholic background, or were they unchurched?
They came from a Catholic background.
That's what I thought.
The Philippines is mostly nominal Catholicism. So they come from a very religious background. But the amazing thing is while they have the Bibles and all sitting on their shelves, I would just tell them the God of the Bible. Just tell them about the relationship that it's not about religion. It's not about the many things that you could just repeat or the ritualism or the liturgies. It's about a living relationship with
you. So you were able to help them transform from religion to a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it was a privilege to be able to be a part of it, because it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was just willing, and like the Holy Spirit did what he needed to do.
Wonderful. And it's still going.
Yeah. Now, when you came back, you know, sometimes when you're in mission, on the mission field, you come back.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like you need to transition back to normal life. Transition back to your new society.
An affluent society. Okay.
Thank you very much, Suzanne Maurer. You hit it. How was that process for you?
You know, man, it was. After living in the Philippines for a year, I mean, like any tour, I mean, I don't know half of what our military goes through, but I got a glimpse of it. You know, to re-enter into society, things change here in America like so quickly. While in other countries, the lifestyle is very relational and just really chill. But here, the turnover is so quick, and a year went by, and I just felt a little bit out of place. I did a debrief, of course, you know, with my missions leaders, but you know, it was just a time. I went straight into Bible college, so there wasn't any time to resettle into home. Mm. It was straight, because I knew I was applied for the university before I left, and I'd gotten accepted for the next year. And so I came here for a month, and I unpacked my bags, washed my clothes, then packed it again, and I was off to Bible college, or I was off to college. And Texas is a country in itself. Mm-hmm. I think that was the hardest. That was more culture shock than the Philippines, to be honest. Philippines is more closer to Hawaii than Texas. And I remember just many days just kind of like trying to figure out, like, why am I here? Like, I feel so out of place. But I was still trying to keep everything that I had learned in a very spiritual setting. Once in a dark setting, once in a very, you know, active and, you know, this was my season of learning. This is my season of observing. Yet God kind of, I thought I would just kind of not get involved, but just college became a really great learning experience as well. And so,
in learning, there is observing. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about action. It's not always about doing. Actually, the action is in the observation. And how well can we observe? Sometimes we observe not so well, because we think we should be doing. Yeah. When in fact, in there are certain moments when, in the observation, if we fully give ourselves to the opportunity of observation, the Lord, in his great and grand wisdom of design, enables a greater level of precision when we re-engage in the action, because we observed well, we've learned well. Sometimes you might feel, or we might feel, like we've been put on a shelf, for a season. But you know, when the Lord is going to shoot an arrow further, he needs to pull the arrow back. Are you being pulled back? There's a reason. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
There's nothing like it. When you see a young leader who has found themselves, as it were, God has enabled them to have a sense of identity and a voice to be able to communicate, it's profound. Quite often what you see in the grace of God is they started early. Early what? What do you mean early, Danny? Early, like in the case of missions, they started traveling early. They started being exposed early. They started processing things early, getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit in their own life, getting to know the relationship, their relationship with God. I'm thinking about Pastor Josh Cole, traveling the world so young, but already speaking with a kind of profundity beyond years, really, beyond years. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Suzanne Maurer, and Pastor Josh Cole is in studio with us today. Pastor Josh, you've traveled the world, and you're on your way now to Nepal, but you're involved with a movement called the Explicit Movement. How did you get involved with that movement? And tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Okay. So I currently am serving as the youth pastor at First Assembly of God. And I guess the apple doesn't fall from the tree. But I actually felt the Lord say to come back and to serve under my father. And so he's in serving his vision, that will help me achieve my dream and serving another person's dream. And I've been learning a lot under all this. How did I get involved with Explicit? As a youth pastor, of course, relationships is one of the key topics. And is one of the things that, you know, honestly, before in high school, you're like, okay, relationships. Well, now you're a youth pastor. You're watching over young people. And you can see how positive relationships can affect students and how negative relationships. I'm not just talking about girl to boy. I'm talking about friendships and all that kind of thing. So relationship is such an important thing for this generation and, of course, for all generations. You can't live without relationship. So processing a lot as a young youth pastor, I came across Pastor Michelle Okimura, and she came up to me so humbly, and she brought a vision, and she said she really wanted to do a purity conference for the entire island. And she's so sweet, so spirit filled with the spirit and lovable. And I was like, how can you say no to such a person like her? So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll help. Under one condition, let's change it from a purity conference to something like, we'll figure out a different word. So the word for me was explicit. something raw, true, because I feel like there's a stigma within the church that it's something that sex and relationships are something we don't talk about in the church. And for me, that was personally how it was for my church. And so when she brought it to me, and he was like, yeah, that I'm all in, but let's change it to something else. And explicit came to mind, something raw, something true. We're talking about the gift that God has given to us, the relationship. And of course she was, we started to collaborate, and it just started to roll. Like, I don't know, like, you know, I already thought my plate was full and all that kind of stuff, but this, when a vision like this comes, is birthed, all of a sudden you find yourself, like, your time goes to where the vision it takes you. So little by little, like, I got to meet other youth pastors, and a network started. And that's how this explicit movement started, was from a bunch of youth pastors who were really dealing with the same things in their church and dealing with relationships, and we hungering for to deal with it as an island and to bring unity. And honestly, that's what it's done, is explicit. While we're dealing with sexuality, where the message of the world is very distorted, twisted, and shameful, we bring to light the true identity and the true reason and the creator of sex and our sexuality and who we are. But also it bringing us all together in unity behind reaching out to this generation.
Well, I just had the opportunity to listen to Aaron Larson earlier, and he, of course, is working with you. It's just an urgent message for our young people today. So tell us a little bit. I know that you're branching out, sounds like perhaps even internationally, but can you fill us in a little bit more with where you're going with this on the island of Oahu?
Yeah, so we kicked off the conference about a year and a half ago, I believe, a year and a half ago. Yes. And our first, we were amazed at the response. We had about 800 students come out to our first explicit conference held at First Assembly. And I was just taken back, like, wow. And it was very, how do you say, explicit. We didn't hold anything back. There was no shame. There was forgiveness, and there was cleansing, and there was healing. It was just so powerful. Like, I've never seen anything like it. The next day we had workshops talking about, you know, what it means to have a relationship, your identity, your sexual identity as well, who God created you to be. So each of these sessions are very pointed, first of all, of being transparent, second of all, to be truth-telling and to bring the Word of God into a young person's life. And so we did our first conference, and it was just a great turnout. The second year, we did four conferences because, I don't know what, the Lord was just leading us to split it up into age groups. So we did one for, you know, junior high, we did a conference for high school, we did one for young adults, and we did one for parents, because we want to also equip parents on how to, you know, speak to their students about their sexuality and that it's given by God, and how to celebrate it, and also help them to.
How did the parents respond?
Oh, the first conference, the parents were very grateful, and I really think that parents really want this type of thing from the church.
And need it.
Need it, yeah. They need some. It's not just a sex ed type of thing to talk about. It is a very spiritual matter. It's how we're created, and God gives us very clear, clear truth in the Word about how to speak to our children, and also who we are and how He created us. So the parents were very responsive, and there was a positive response to it, and I really believe they enjoyed it a lot.
Going forward.
Going forward, you know, Pastor Michelle, she's just so led by the Spirit. Where are we going? Which way? I can't tell you. Like, right now, we're next week or a couple weeks from now, they're going to Singapore.
Yes.
Like, the doors are opening wide open to this explicit. Now we're a nonprofit organization. We look to partner with local churches, not just, you know, not just doing it ourselves, but we look to equip and empower those who are in the local church, because that's where the answer is. And so they're going to Singapore to do their first international explicit movement conference. We just got an invitation to the Philippines to do a smaller scale one. Because you know what? This is a topic that is needed amongst the faith community all around the world.
Mm-hmm. And do you have another conference date set for here or not yet?
I believe it's going to be in September.
Yes, I think we heard something about September.
It will probably be in September. I'm not too sure about
it. Well, you can go ahead and find out about it at explicitmovement.org. It sounds like there are more coming, not only in September, but it's like a rolling conference on a roll. It's rolling and it's on the roll, so you can find out all the upcoming dates just by going there. That and other information about who's speaking, who's involved, who's leading. Someone might be looking, well, let me find out more about this. If you have any questions or you want to know about what their beliefs are, how you can be involved, what churches, what denominations are a part of this, what leaders are a part of this, explicitmovement.org. It's all open there, and they're going international. God has opened international doors. Pastor Josh, thank you, dear brother. It was a blessing to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Refreshing, delightful. He's on fire, passionate. Praise God.
Really blessed to be here today.
Yeah, your heart just comes out, and there's an authenticity that is you just can't beat that. You know, it's you can't replace that, and your heart is really a gift. So
it's the Lord. It really is. I have there's no credit to myself. It's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Indeed, we give God all the glory.
Yeah.
Amen.
Dear friend, I hope that you've been indeed inspired, even as we have, as we've heard Pastor Joshua Cole. You can find out more about the Explicit Movement at explicitmovement.org. And as I typically say, you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special message I've set up for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Chronicles 16:24. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Joshua Coe. Find out more at explicitmovement.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just